Welcome to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast, a podcast for leaders and by leaders, where they share their secret sauce to success with technology, culture, and people. So hold on, because another great episode starts right now. Welcome to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast. I'm your host, Thomas Anglero, Cognizant CTIO in the Nordic countries, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. Once again, we have another fantastic guest, and this time, our guest is from one of the leading companies in the world, one of the most innovative companies in the world, and without exaggeration, probably double underline, and he is from Amazon Web Services, AWS. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Manuel Bonnet, Head of Enterprise for the Nordics and Baltics. Good morning, good afternoon, Manuel. Are you there?
Hello, Thomas. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Manuel, why don't you just take a quick second, introduce yourself to everybody, why you're so famous, and why you had to be on this podcast.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot, Thomas. And my name is Manuel, as you mentioned, and I run the enterprise business for Amazon Web Services in the Nordics and Baltics. I'm part of the Amazon Web Services leadership team here, and I'm working with customers all across the Nordic market, obviously, and help them adapt the cloud. Before doing that, I also spent quite some time with AWS and Amazon before. So right now, a bit over 8 years in total. I started my career at IBM, so we have also something in common, Thomas.
All right, here we go.
I joined the Amazon retail business, building a payment service in Germany, and also expanded that to Europe. I felt it's a good opportunity to combine the knowledge and the experience with the Amazon retail business with my previous experience from the time at IBM. And the obvious choice was to become part of the Amazon Web Services team, where my first job was basically to build out a industry vertical sales team for manufacturing and automotive, also back in Germany, where I'm originally from. And in 2019, I got the great opportunity to come to the Nordics. I live in Stockholm now and brought my family here. We have two little girls, 3 and 6, probably talk about that and how this worked during the pandemic. And we are now living in Sweden. And again, part of the Nordic team, and very much looking forward to our discussion.
Fantastic. I love the fact that you introduce yourself with introducing your daughters. I think that's great. And the reason why that's great is it's important because I think a lot of us during the time of COVID, especially leaders, we got to spend a little extra time with family. But yet we're still leaders. We're still running these companies. We're still responsible for so many things. How was it for you, Manuel, not just during COVID, but now reflecting on it after COVID, as you run your company, as you run enterprise in the Nordics and Baltics, how are you managing that side of Manuel, who's the papa to your daughters, but also the leader of the company? I mean, you had a lot of time to reflect. How are you managing that? I mean, a lot of the other leaders out there are going, somebody give me some more advice because this is tough. Can you have some advice for other leaders?
Yeah, so first of all, we all face the same challenges, and we have all been in the same situation, even if there has been quite different approaches between the different countries, right? Even if we look at the Nordic market, I think the approach in Sweden compared to some of the other countries has been quite different. I think for us, when we made the decision as a family to move to Sweden, and this was right before the pandemic started,
oh, wow,
we didn't really know what we signed up for, right? Because our expectation was actually that we can still get some support from family and friends. The plan was that they come visit us on a regular basis, and that would also make it a bit easier to kind of manage our daily routines with the little girls, right? Yeah. All of a sudden, and back then the kids have been 1 and 3, all of a sudden this was no longer possible. So we needed to also kind of rebuild our own routine and figure out a way how we can deal with that in a constructive way that works for all of us. And I'm in a very privileged situation that actually my wife, my partner, she decided to quit her corporate job and basically focus on stabilizing what's happening at home, and also giving me a bit of more freedom and the opportunity to really focus on the challenging time during the pandemic. At the end of the day, preschools have been open, schools have been open in Sweden, so it was fine and we found a good way. But from a leadership perspective, I really saw that across the team, people really needed to adapt to very, very individual situations. And I think it was, and it still is, really challenging to really find out what's the best setup for individuals on your team to actually work in the new normal, which will, for the foreseeable future, I think at least be a hybrid environment, right? So kind of finding that out, also giving people some confidence, reconfirmation of we are flexibly adapting to how they can best balance their private life and their work life. I think that has not been easy before. It's probably even harder now. And at the end of the day, I think that's a key skill. That's a key skill that leaders need to acquire. It's probably a combination of emotional intelligence, also empathy, and also the willingness to make decisions to, at the end of the day, also adapt to these very individual needs and requirements. And I'm just happy that we here at AWS, our leadership principles are super strong. So the way we think about our company, it's actually codified in our leadership principle. And the leadership principles center obviously around our customers. So customer obsession is one of those. But there is also a lot of leadership principles that really help us and inform the right decision in support of our teams, right? One of the leadership principles is earn trust. And that's clearly earning trust with customers, but also earning trust internally. And that's something our leaders are expected to do. I think it has been one of the most important things to really focus on with the teams over the last couple of months. Another leadership principle is also disagree and commit, right? There might be situations where you can't really adapt to all the preferences across your team. So to some extent, you also ask people to disagree and commit, but the fact that this is a leadership principle really helps people also to feel safe and comfortable with making those hard decisions, maybe even tough decisions that have an impact on their personal life. And I'm super proud that, especially now during the pandemic, we introduced a new leadership principle, which is our aspiration to become the world's best employer, right? We've always been following the mission to become the world's most customer-centric company. Now we are adding that leadership principle around the world's best employer. And that's just so powerful for all of us, the teams and leadership, to really do everything we can to make this the best place to work for our people. And that obviously also includes an environment that will flexibly adapt to unforeseen situations like the pandemic.
What an incredible goal to set during such a difficult period of time. And your choice you made, which is to see each individual employee as themselves and that they each have their own individual challenges and that you could adapt to that, is quite impressive. Because I've spoken to many leaders and many of them are being frustrated because they want their employees back in the office. They're not happy that the office that they're paying all this rent and leasing money to is empty, not even half empty. It's 2/3 empty. I was talking to one leader where they have now made a policy where they require people to be in the office a minimum of 3 days a week. And AWS, Manuel has decided, no, we're going to see you as an individual and have to take care of your individual needs. That is so impressive. So congratulations to you and the AWS on that decision. With that decision and focusing on people and now focusing on being the best employer, how are you going to achieve that when there's so many infinite possibilities? You know, black swans are going to come up in the future and everything. And then Amazon, this incredible company, the most innovative company out there, one of the top two. Right, there's another one out there called Apple, but that's another thing. They were innovative. How are you going to? What are the lessons? What are the steps you're taking to being to fulfill that mantra, that goal that you have? Because other leaders are out there saying, wow, I'm going to copy whatever Amazon does. And you're doing this now? Great. Tell me, how are you doing to achieve that? Explain.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty broad question, right? And I probably need to go back to what I said about the leadership principles. It's not just sure. the writing on the wall. It's really ingrained in our DNA. It's our culture, and we live that. And we also, that's how we basically hire people, how we develop people, how we promote people. It's always coming back to being bar raising in those leadership principles. And that's the same no matter if you are an individual contributor or a leader. We all consider our teams to be builders, and builders want to build, right? And builders want to build backwards from what their customers need. And to some extent, we consider our teams to be our customers, right? And that's also why, for example, we kind of reconsidered the initial idea of being in the office 3 days a week to now being more flexible and letting teams make their own decision. And I think the main learning that we all have, and I got the opportunity to tour some of our offices in the last couple of days. So I've been visiting my team in Helsinki, in Copenhagen, in Oslo. And I just realized that it's really about four things that we as a leadership team need to create for the team to actually reconsider coming back to the office. Because make no mistake, most of them have found a very good and quite effective way to work from home and work remotely, right? So now that we are again almost retraining that muscle or breaking that routine, I think we need to create more reasons to collaborate and also facilitate that in a different way. And that to some extent will also include technology. We need to create reasons to connect, also connect with other teams, right? For example, for us here in Sweden, AWS, we have been here for quite some time. Actually, we celebrate our 10th anniversary. We started building out local. Thanks a lot. We started building out local infrastructure 10 years ago as part of our content delivery network, and have also established offices since. And as of 2018, we also have one of the 25 global regions for AWS based out of Sweden. So there's a lot happening. And for the first time, we now have an office that we share with other Amazon teams, right? So we have the Amazon retail team who recently launched their business in Sweden. We have part of the Prime Video team here. We have part of a robotics development team in the Helsinki office. And that's a great opportunity for people to connect and get a broader sense of the businesses we innovate in. And that's also a good reason to come to the office. Yeah. The next reason is culture, right? I think it's so important, especially in the growth mode that we are in. To put this in perspective, over the last 2 years, I tripled my enterprise team here in the Nordics, and actually 40% of those joined during the pandemic. So did a complete virtual onboarding, and some of them never met their teammates. So really getting them the opportunity to live and see the culture in reality, that's a good reason to come back. And last and clearly not least is also celebration, right? I mean, we talk about working hard, having fun, and making history. And the having fun part, I think, is so hard to replicate on a virtual meeting or even in a hybrid setting. That's where you want the team to come back in person.
Yeah, you dropped so many bombs in what you were saying. And I didn't want to be rude and interrupt you, but I think going forward, I'm going to interrupt you because I just so many important things. You said that you started with a mandatory, you have to be in the office 3 days a week. Did you actually start there?
No. So this has been an idea, right? So it has never been mandatory, but it was kind of a mental model and a guideline. Yeah.
Got it. And now you're pulling away from that. That is interesting. And I think a lot of people, the listeners out there, are going, really? That is so interesting. You talked on technology, and we need to spend some time there, because the other thing that leaders are thinking is, okay, I have my people, I have the culture, and you've done such a wonderful job, Manuel, in explaining how AWS has built that culture and taking care of their people. But now in terms of the business side, this whole thing about cloud, and, you know, the AWS is one of the hyperscalers out there that are really, everybody's talking about. The question is this: if I'm a leader out there and I'm being told I have to move my entire business to the cloud, right? Why should I move my business to the cloud? When, okay, during COVID, I realized that my business wasn't as stable as I thought it was. My margins were cut. My customers and my customers left. I cannot do and think the same things I did before COVID. I need a new business model. Why is moving to the cloud part of that new business model, my maturity as a company? Can you help explain to the listeners out there, to those leaders, in a simple way, why this is not just hype, but this is actually the future or the now, please?
Yeah, happy to. I think the starting point should never be being told to move to the cloud, right? Because that's probably where things are already set up to fail, because it's not about only technology. It's also about the mental model behind and the way of working, right? And yeah, I think...
But realize this, every newspaper, every magazine, everybody's saying, move to cloud, move to cloud. And that's why I want to get the fuzziness out of the cloud. I want to get clarity. What's going on and why?
Sure. Yeah. So what customers are actually telling us, right? And I think that's the right angle. So they basically, and some of that has been amplified and accelerated during the pandemic, they want to move to cloud because of the agility that cloud actually brings. And agility is a pretty broad term, but I can just tell you how we think about it. We think you can only be innovative if you have the ability to run experiments, but at the same time, you can live with the collateral damage of failure. And there is no way you can do that in a traditional technology or infrastructure environment. The cloud provides you the agility to actually do it, right? So back to your point of new business models, trying out things, the cloud is the best way to give your teams that agility, and with that also the opportunity to learn from failure very fast. So that's one reason.
Manuel, let me just interrupt you just so we get clarity on that, because you used the word best. And a lot of people, listeners, are going, why is it the best? So let me give an example, and then you correct me if I'm wrong or right. It doesn't matter. One reason why it's the best is that if you go from the old business model, you have your existing infrastructure, your people, the cost of doing an experimental project, even to do a pilot project, the time it takes is, we're talking about months, maybe years. The cost is ridiculously expensive. But when you do this on the cloud, let's say on the AWS platform, we're talking about at a very small scale, very fast, very quick, and it's just, you could experiment literally in a half an hour. You can up, run a service, create it, see how it works. If it don't like it, take it down, you're done. So you're not going from all these meetings, which is, we have this pilot project. Instead, just launch the damn pilot project, see what happens, you're done, and then go have a sandwich or something like that. Am I right or am I too far off?
No, that's about right. And there's another dimension of that. There's a lot of services, for example, in the space of machine learning and AI that actually provides developers, even if they're not data scientists by heart, the opportunity to use data in a completely different way. And that's another part of being agile, right? Because you can just get going very fast and very quickly. And to your point, cost, I mean, cost is part of that equation, but that's actually a separate reason that a lot of customers call out. Because first of all, moving to the cloud provides you a different way of, for example, running enterprise IT. There's a lot of purpose-built databases where you just can basically get rid of a lot of licensing costs, but also a lot of operational costs. And at the same time, and AWS, again, is very customer obsessed. Whenever we see an opportunity to let our customers benefit from our own economies of scale, as we build out our infrastructure globally, we pass that on to our customers. So we have lowered prices more than 107 times since we started this business. And we are quite engaged with our customers to help them do more with less. So especially over the last 2 years, our sales teams, and that sounds strange, our sales teams spend a lot of time helping customers cost optimize. This is how we think about our commitment for customers to do more with less in the cloud. And that's why cost is a big component of considering moving workloads.
And me emphasize something. In that time period, did you cut your costs 107 times? At the same time, the amount of innovation and new service and application you put on your platform also increased as well. So it wasn't about you just cutting your costs. You also provided new services, features that allow companies to be innovative, right? Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And we really believe, and this is not something that we have created for AWS, this has always been the core of our flywheel and basically our business model. We believe in a downstream impact, which means a customer who basically trusts and believes that this is the right platform to work with, and really also sees that we are proactively investing in the relationship by, for example, giving them access to our own economies of scale, will just be a happier customer over time, right? And in the retail business, selection, convenience, and price are the critical component. And we try to take this mental model to the IT space, which is especially for enterprise customers so different from what they're used to work with, that we think over time we can really make a difference, and we can really also retrain the brains of our customers how they actually think about us as their strategic platform provider.
You know, as you talk, you highlight something, but I'm not sure you're putting enough lights on it. And there's something that's really powerful and really beautiful. Coming from the old world IT, so many times we would buy a license from a company and that's it. We didn't have a real relationship with that company. They were just happy to sell us some licenses. They made their money and they're gone, and they were available by phone or something like that. But the way you talk about AWS, right? You constantly talk like it's a personal relationship. Like you literally are there for the customer. We're going to help you. We're going to hold your hand. We're going to help you to build that vision, bring to life that thought, that idea you have. And I think that's so important that the listeners understand that that is AWS. That's the power of what the heritage, what the bloodline within your company, and that's what you're bringing into the IT world. And a lot of us who've been in IT for a long time, we're not used to that. But the way you talk is so beautiful, because you're saying, listen, we're not going to just sell you a cheap platform to save you prices 107 times. We're holding your hand the whole way through. Am I close?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if I ask customers, what's the main difference in working with us? They call out customer obsession, right? And I have been referring to that now for quite some time. I'll just give you a number to make it even more precise. 90%, actually more than 90% of what we are building, our own service innovation, is driven by customer feedback, right? So we have super strong mechanisms to feedback what customers want, what they don't get today, and really kind of the art of the possible, what they imagine us doing for them in a next step. And we feed that back to our service teams and we make it happen. And that's extremely powerful. The second part is we are really pioneers and builders. So whenever you engage with us, with our solution architects, our professional services, our specialized sales teams, they really roll up their sleeves. They demonstrate a lot of bias for action. They have a ton of ownership and they just want to build things and want to make it happen. And that resonates with a lot of customers. And the last point is long-term orientation, right? So we really care about long-term success of our customers. And with that, that's also the right thing to do for our own business. So you will not see us knock at your door at the end of a quarter or anything. It's really about building a long-term relationship and really also being considered as a long-term partner.
I love it. Manuel, you are articulate and in explaining a beautiful company in a beautiful way. And with our last few minutes on this podcast, is there any last words that you'd like to give to the listeners out there, to the leaders all over the world who are now going, wow, I had no idea that AWS was this type of company? What last type of advice do you want to give them coming out of COVID? They understand what you've said. They're thinking now, this AWS thing, this cloud thing, looking at the culture of my people in a different way. Me stepping up and being a leader. Any other nuggets of gold you like to drop on them before we end this podcast?
Yeah, I think personally, what also changed my perspective over the last 2 years is I think we all need to keep some of the good things that actually happened during the time. So I really enjoyed being at home and also having the opportunity to have breakfast and also dinner with my kids. I think there's a ton of opportunity to learn from that. How can we be as effective as working from home, but still be in an environment that is, again, requiring some travel? Because to build those relationships, you also want to see people in person. I think it comes down to another concept and mental model that I see here in this company a lot, which is day one mentality, right? We think or talk about day one mentality as in, okay, day one for a company, for a startup, how do you actually get going? But I think there's also a lot of day ones now coming out of the pandemic where we really kind of have to reinvent the way we lead, the way we work, the way our family and work life can be integrated and balanced. And I think just to challenge yourself, how much of my thinking, how I act, what I tell people to do, what I inspire them to do, how much of that is coming back to me being ready to also reinvent the way I work, the way I am, the way I think about things. That's for me day one mentality. And I think this is a great opportunity for all of us to revisit who do we want to be and how do we want to work. And probably now that we got some additional ideas and insight from a completely different way of working, and we have all been forced to change our routines over the last couple of years, I think it's a great opportunity, and it would be a missed opportunity if we don't come out of the pandemic stronger than before, also as leaders.
Manuel, you're a wonderful, articulate speaker, and you have finished this episode in a beautiful way. To all of you listeners out there, reflect on what Manuel said. Probably re-listen to this episode and, you know, subscribe to the podcast and listen to many other leaders. But Manuel, I want to personally thank you very much. You have been enlightening. You've been a wonderful representative for AWS. And I think I can speak for a lot of listeners out there that it's been a pleasure listening to you and to you sharing all of your thoughts and reflections with all of us. So thank you very much, Manuel.
Thank you, Thomas, and speak soon.
Yes. Take care, Manuel. Take care, all of you. Subscribe to the podcast. Until the next time, take care of yourself and listen to Manuel. Take care of your customers. And most importantly, take care of your employees. This is Thomas Anglero for the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast. At Cognizant, we help our clients modernize technology, reimagine processes, and transform experiences so they can stay ahead in our fast-changing world. Together, we're improving everyday life. Subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere.